Welcome to Sparkle Speak. This is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, which is a Christian women's ministry designed to connect women with the purpose of inspiration and encouragement. Each week, we will interview a new guest who will share her personal experience with Christianity. Whether you identify yourself as a Christian or not, this podcast is for you, and our intent is always to inspire one another through our own unique and individual stories of how God has moved and shaped us. Wherever you are listening today, we hope you enjoy this story of faith. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. And as you know, each week we chat with a guest who shares her personal story of how she came to know the Lord. And today we have with us Jill Wilkinson. I know Jill because she is on the Sparkle team with me. And as we've mentioned before, we're trying to get some of us to come on and share our stories just so you can understand our hearts a little bit better and know who we are. And where we come from. So Jill is our treasurer. She just joined recently and she's trying to help us become a 501c3. And she's been awesome so far. I feel like your natural giftings are totally shining through, Jill. So wanted to, encourage you with that and also just say thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me. This is an honor to be able to talk to you and share my story and have somebody think that, you know, it's worthy of sharing. So thank you.
Of course, it's totally worthy of sharing and I haven't even heard it yet, but I'm so excited. Also just to kind of introduce Jill a little bit more too. She currently runs her husband's practice. What's the practice again?
He's an ophthalmologist.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So she helps run that practice. And then she's also working on a Broadway show that she's trying to bring to Broadway. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Cause I think that's pretty sure. Cool.
Way back when I married this very talented, multi-talented man. So first of all, by day, he's an ophthalmologist, but in most other waking hours of the 24-hour cycle, he is a composer lyricist, and he has written a book, the music and lyrics for a book called, or musical called Bonhoeffer. And it's about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who you've probably heard quoted, even if you didn't know you were hearing him quoted. He was a very prolific writer. He was a pastor in Germany in the 1930s, and he stood up to the Nazis because the first thing the Nazis actually did was take over the church. And so he was immediately put on the front line to stand up against the atrocities there. And he recognized immediately the evil that was coming out. And he did end up giving his life for that cause. So it's a very epic, dramatic story. And it's a great musical. And I'm honored to be able to serve as the executive producer, which basically means I hire people and I raise money.
That's so cool. Do you know, like, where are you guys at in the process with that? You don't have to, you know, share too much, but
we have had what they call a staged reading in New York City back in 2018 in December. And from that, we found a number of things that needed to be rewritten on the book. And so it's the book is the script. I keep calling it the book because that's what they call it, but it is the script. So that's what I'm talking about. So we needed to do some rewrites and we hit 2020 just about perfectly, actually, because we were not ready for production. So we didn't waste any money, and which is important to me. And we've been rewriting it and it is glorious. I'm absolutely ecstatic about how it's been upgraded and how the story really punches through. So we are going to have another staged reading, but it's going to be here in Michigan at Oakland University in January, and it will be open to the public. And we will be utilizing some New York talent, as well as the students at Oakland University, and giving them an awesome experience in working with a New York director who works on Broadway and giving them a lot of face time with some critical people that could help them out as well.
Wow, that's so fascinating. I love hearing that. And you'll have to make sure you keep us posted on that. Very cool. And Jill, how many kids do you have?
I have two grown daughters. They're both married.
Okay.
One's 34 and one's 30. And they're working on, they're both very successful professional young women that we're very proud of. They're both pursuing their passions, both spiritually and in the business field that they've chosen. One lives in Washington, D.C., and one lives in New York City. And so we get to travel and see them, and they travel and see us a lot.
Oh.
We talk to them a lot, and I talk to them every day. So
yeah.
Sometimes I forget that they live far away.
Oh, that's so special. Yeah, and your daughter, Elle, was actually on our podcast already. So
yeah.
I thought that was worth mentioning for sure. A little mother-daughter combo.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, let's dive right into some of our questions. The first one, this is one that I think out of all the questions, this one's so cool to me because everyone has such a unique answer. And I love hearing the variety. So in your eyes, what does Christianity mean to you?
I've given this a lot of thought since you sent this email to me, giving me my questions. And I've thought about it. And, you know, at my stage of life, my life has taken a lot of different turns. And it has brought a lot of a huge variety of people into my life and a huge variety of challenges. And I think that what Christianity means to me is a simple relationship with Jesus based on love. And when you start getting more complicated than that, and you can, because there's a lot of nuances and different things, I think it's really important to just focus back on the fact that Jesus loves me and I love Jesus and I am in a relationship with him.
Beautiful. I think that's so, so well stated. And I couldn't agree more.
kind of brief, but you know, life can get gobbled up, you know, and mushy and filled with a lot of other things. And sometimes it's really nice to know that you don't have to be complicated. You just
yes.
have to open yourself up.
I agree. And also just because there's so many misconceptions about what Christianity is, and there's so many rules that I think people think constitutes Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So even just, you simplified it because it is simple. It's a relationship. So I think that was great. So now we're going to get a little more personal. I would love to hear just a little bit more about when you first started identifying yourself as a Christian, or how did you come to know the Lord? And were there any experiences that kind of helped change your view of who God is to you?
Yeah. Well, when I was 16 years old, I actually started dating the man who is my husband now. And I know, long time ago. And I did recognize a good thing when I saw it back then. It was about the smartest thing I did when I was 16, except accepting Jesus. And I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I did not have a great experience in the Catholic Church. And I'm not slamming the church itself. It's more the people that I personally was involved with at that particular church that was not a good experience for me. And my husband, or my boyfriend at the time, had become a Christian, and he decided that he could not date someone who did not fit his definition at 16 of a Christian. And that was somebody who had accepted the Lord and Lord as Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I did not know the difference. And he kept telling me I wasn't a Christian. And I did not know the difference between what he was saying and how I had grown up, because I knew Jesus. I went to catechism and church, and my family, you know, had become sort of a Christmas and Easter church. As I said, we did not have a great relationship with the church we were actually in, so it didn't draw us to go more often. but I didn't understand what he was saying, and I was a little offended by it. But I wanted to date him. So when he decided on one of our dates that he was going to take out the Campus Crusade, and crew at that time was called Campus Crusade for Christ, there are a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. And he read through those laws with me. And I was like, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. That's not a problem. So I said the prayer at the end, and he decided that that meant that I was a Christian. Now, I will say that I didn't make any big leaps in my faith or anything, but I did out loud vocalize that I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. But that next summer at his cottage, they had a week called the Spiritual Emphasis Week. And they brought in speakers at that time, and they brought in a team of youth speakers specifically for teens. And he called me up when he was up there, and he said, can you come up to my cottage? My mom says it's okay. And I'm like, you're inviting me to your cottage? Wow, that's kind of big stuff. but I asked my mom, and she talked to his mom, and they decided that this would be a very good thing for Jill to do. So the next thing I knew, I was on a Greyhound bus to Muskegon, and I had never been on a bus before either. And Scott drove down from Ludington to Muskegon and picked me up, and I was very, very excited. Now, this is kind of exciting to be involved in this, and they were a very dynamic group that was speaking there, and they were very powerful and they spoke very personally. They talked about a personal relationship with Jesus, and they kept emphasizing this personal thing, and that Jesus loved me, and that he loved me. And, you know, I mean, you read that in this, you know, scripture, you hear it. I hadn't really read much scripture at that point, but I'd had it read to me from the pulpit. And I started to understand that I had been more of what I would call a corporate Christian, like by virtue of my membership in the Catholic Church and being baptized and what all the things that made me a Catholic, but that I didn't know the personal relationship with Jesus. And that's where the love came in. That's when you got to experience God's love. And what I hadn't experienced up to that point, and so that church was not a real positive thing for me, was I hadn't experienced Jesus' love. And at the end of the sessions, Scott, my now husband, then boyfriend, he played the music for all of these things. He's always been a guitar player and a singer. And so he would lead like the music part of these sessions. And so every night after the session, they would talk about the music for the next day. So I would kind of have to sort of mill around because that wasn't my thing. And I went out on this balcony that was overlooking Lake Michigan with absolutely, and it was dark. It was like 10:30, quarter of 11 at night. And the stars in the sky were just huge. They were just all over the place. And Scott's sister came up to me and she started talking to me. And I knew it was Jesus speaking. I just knew that what he wanted me to know was that how much he loved me and how much he wanted me to experience his love. Mm. And that is the moment my life changed. So all the other stuff was a preamble preparing me, and it was all important. But that was the moment that my life changed forever.
Hmm. That's beautiful. Thank you. I love the picture of the stars in the sky too. That's really special.
I cannot walk past that. We have a cottage at that same resort as of our own. And I can't walk past that porch without thinking about that night. And I walk past it a million and a half times. Aww. So it's a wonderful reminder to me that Jesus never forgot me.
Absolutely. And actually, I was just talking to another friend of mine today about planting seeds and how sometimes, you know, we're trying to explain this love we know from the Lord, and we're trying to maybe explain it to someone who maybe doesn't mm-hmm. understand or doesn't know him. And it can be discouraging, you know, if they don't want to hear it or disregard it or don't see it for what we know it to be. And she just reminded me, she was like, but Catherine, you're planting seeds. Maybe it hasn't clicked yet. And maybe it hasn't, you know, had that heart transformation yet in that person. But like you just mentioned, all of that stuff is still important because you had the knowledge of the gospel and what was true, but your heart just hadn't quite caught up to it yet. Is that kind of how you think it went?
Absolutely. And until it's heart, it doesn't impact your life. Head knowledge doesn't, I mean, it can keep you from bad decisions and blah, 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 but it doesn't really change the course of how you live, how you look at things, how you reach out to people, how your heart for things.
Yep, definitely. And I mean, that's how my story was too, you know, I knew, but it didn't really change my life until I had the heart transformation and invited Jesus into my heart. And so it is just such a good reminder to be reminded of how we came to know the Lord, and that, you know, that's how it's going to be for other people too. And we don't need to give up, you know, it's just a continual process of speaking truth and saying what we know is true.
Yeah. Yep. That's very beautifully said. Thank you. Yep.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I love, love, love hearing what God has done in your past and, you know, how he kind of changed the course of your life. But more recently, what has he been teaching you, or what have you been learning lately? I don't know if you have like a favorite verse or just something that's kind of been on your heart lately that you want to share.
You know, the beautiful thing is that I have seen over the course of my life that God has never forgotten me, that he has his hand on every part of my life. And he sometimes, you know, you may not feel it especially when you're raising children, and, you know, that's not a instant gratification kind of a sport. Even though my daughters are beautiful and wonderful and spirit-filled Christian women, they, you know, every minute of it wasn't like, oh yeah, see, this is beautiful, this is great, you know. And I've been in and out of the workforce by choice, and the Lord has always had that next chapter for me. And I'm a bookaholic, to be honest. I read incessantly. When the girls were young, I literally would like read at red lights, driving them around. I am a confessed bookaholic. And my husband, at one point, when my older daughter or younger daughter was in high school, said, "You need to give back. You're a reader, so you need to be a writer. You need to give back." So I prayed about it, and I took a writing course, and I actually wrote a novel that was published back in 2008 called Downsized. And you can get it on Amazon and Kindle. And it's about, you know, a guy who is being downsized out of his job. Remember, the Detroit area, we were ahead of the curve on the 2008 financial crisis. We had been in a crisis for, you know, 10 years previous to that. So there was a ton of material in the Detroit area about people being downsized from their jobs, losing their jobs, people with educations and, you know, really, you know, white, you know, not just workers, but career people being, you know, turned out and needing to redefine and reassess what they were going to do with their life. And my suggestion in that book is that you turn to the resources that the Lord has given you to find out how you can best be used going forward. And I wrote the book because I was being downsized out of my favorite job. My my kids were leaving home, and I wasn't going to get to be a stay-at-home mom anymore because there wasn't any, weren't any kids home to be home with. So I kind of, you know, you do a good job and they go away. It's not a great system as far as, you know, I think they should go away when they're middle school and come back when they're older, because they're so wonderful when they are older.
Yeah.
Middle school those were not my favorite years.
Right. That's when you want someone else to do the work, right?
I was like this, you know, so I wrote the book out of my own heart that the Lord, and it was really fun. And then I went to, you know, I've always had that next chapter, and that's how I've really experienced God's love in my life, is that he's always shown me those answers when I need them, not 1 minute before I need to know, when I need it. And he's just directed my path. And I think, and that's been something that's really, really been an encouragement. So I'm at a point now where I'm losing my job again. I'm going to be retired here in a little while from our practice. It's a good thing. We're selling the practice and we're moving towards that retirement. But I always have that hope. And my favorite scripture of the week, by the way, this is not always my favorite scripture, but it really hit home to me. I'm doing Nikki Gumbel's A Year Through the Bible for 2021. And so this was this in this week's scripture, and it's Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I am, that really hit home in a lot of different ways. I just feel like that is what we always need to keep in mind, that as we're in this love relationship with God, with Jesus, that what we have is this hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of that love.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm sure, you know, in seasons of transition, especially, that's when we can get trapped in hopelessness sometimes, not really seeing a future for ourselves or seeing a, you know, a purpose and a plan. And so I think that's so great that you're choosing to remember that in this season of transition in your own life.
Yeah. So I don't know what I have some ideas of what the Lord is working on in me. I feel myself pulled in a couple of directions. Sparkle is one of those. I'm really excited to be involved in Sparkle and throwing my energy and expertise in that area. I'm also working on writing another book. This story is coming together in my head very, very quickly, and I need to start writing, and I need to not be so busy at work so that I can really focus and write.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we have the show, and I'm really not worried about how I'm going to spend my time. I just need to really keep that simple, is what I'm doing of the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and am I projecting God's love in what I'm doing? And that is really what I'm focusing on.
Yeah, that's really cool. You don't want to, or it sounds like you're not wanting to just live the classic American dream where you retire and, you know, kind of live for yourself. Like, you're really trying to have a kingdom focus in retirement even.
Well, my husband is really, I mean, he's not a sit around person, and he has lots of shows now that he's also working on. So if I'm going to sit around and just be like that retired person that doesn't have that, I'm going to be very bored and very alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that isn't what will happen.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
never been what God has let me get away with.
Yeah. No, you and Scott sound like really, really just, I don't know, fascinating people, I guess. All the things you've had a hand in and been involved in throughout your lives together, It just sounds really cool. So thank you for giving us a little glimpse into to what you guys do and who you are.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, Jill, it's been a pleasure. I'm sure our listeners will be very blessed by hearing your words and your story and just your encouragement. So thank you for encouraging us today, and we will chat soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. If you are interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at @sparklefaith_ or at sparklefaith.com. There you can find information on upcoming events and speakers, and please feel free to reach out to us if you have a personal story of faith that you would be willing to share with us. We hope you tune in again next week, and we hope your week is full of the sparkle we all need.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
We hope to better equip you to be salt and light for your community. We hope that we can help you to go out and be a reflection of Jesus Christ to those around you, to your friends and your family, and especially to those that do not know Christ.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.